Hello. Hello, fellow travelers through the pandemic. Thank you all for being here. And my story started, actually, I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, but I grew up in, and my dad was on the GI Bill, and I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And when I was 9 years old, I was on a bus going to a Columbus Jet game, and I met this amazing musician, one of the geniuses of modern jazz music, named Ross Sunroll and Kirk. He was Ronnie Kirk then. Played three saxophones, and he was on the same bus I was on, and we met and we became good friends, and he became my mentor in this music that we call jazz, and he played me lots and lots of records and helped accelerate. I had been listening to a lot of records, and my parents had jazz records, and I've been falling in love with jazz, playing the piano from about the age of six, and grew up with a real passion for this music. Went to Oberlin College and studied music, and then drove out to San Francisco in 1967 in a 1941 Cadillac looking for Paladin and The Summer of Love. And so I wound up in San Francisco after I went to Oberlin College, and very quickly worked for a customs brokerage house and became a pianist with an Afro-Cuban band called Kwani and the Quanditos. And we worked all the time. I worked day and night. It was, I started a work regimen that's continued all my life since my early 20s in the last 55 years. I've been working like two or three jobs at once on all that time, and it's been a real privilege to do what I've done in all this time. But when I got out to San Francisco, I was in this band, and I was going to a little beer bar in North Beach to get a job, and I told him, well, we can have Latin jazz. We can have Latin jazz on Monday nights for $3 and free spaghetti, and we'll take 65% of the door. And he said, no, jazz doesn't work here. This is a beer bar, and jazz lovers love wine and booze. He said, well, I was 25 years old at this time. He said, well, why don't you buy the club? And then I'm going to buy a rock club in Berkeley, and I'm trying to sell this place. Why don't you buy it and hire your own band? So at the age of 25 years old, I became a club owner of the original Keystone Corner in San Francisco. And at that time, I had no idea about opening any jazz club. I had never owned a restaurant or a bar or anything, any business whatsoever. I was a jazz piano player at night and a customs broker assistant in the daytime. And a graduate of Oberlin, and that was about, and I had $8,500 to my name. And he said, well, come back in a couple of days, we'll see what we can do. And I came back in a couple of days with a lawyer friend of mine, and he said, okay, give me a check for $5,000, and then give me another check for $850, and transfer the beer license to your name. And lo and behold, at the age of 25, I was a jazz club owner, and I had no experience as a business owner whatsoever. But I had a lot of love for the music, and I knew a lot of musicians. And so I started just with the day we opened with Jerry Garcia and Merle Saunders. I was stone broke, but we had a new club to open, and we had McCoy Tyner and a whole Ron Carter and a whole lot of great musicians come and play there. And it became a world famous. It became a place known as the Birdland of the 70s and early 80s. And we just worked 18 hours a day, 7 days a week to make this club happen. And it was a true labor of love. Everybody that worked there loved the music. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life, but a very difficult one. And we struggled a lot. We had to have benefit concerts to buy a liquor license and to knock down walls. But it was a truly wonderful, wonderful home for the music. And it became one of the greatest jazz clubs in the world, with hundreds of live recordings done there. But it was a struggle all the way through. And then at one time, Yusef Lateef was playing there, this famous saxophonist, flutist, and he had become embittered because he had lost his tenure at the Manus School of Music, so he had started to play funky music. He had been coming there every summer during his summer hiatus as a teacher, and he'd play there, and it would be packed every night for 2 weeks. So he came back with this funky music that wasn't really going over well with the public. First night there were 200 people, the second night there were 100 people, the third night there were 50 people. So on Friday night there were about 35 people in the club, and he comes up to me in the office and he says, Brother Barkan, will there be any problem paying the band this week? And I said, no, not if I sell my car. So I actually wound up selling my little 65 Chevrolet to pay the band, and Dexter Gordon used to come back in the back and say, well, Todzi, we paid the phone bill. You know, I mean, it was really a hand-to-mouth. Bill Graham helped us a little bit, a famous rock impresario, and we kept that club open until 1983, in which time, I don't know if we know a lot of Bay Area history, but the Bay Area started to get siliconized. You know, I mean, Silicon Valley rose up, and a lot of bohemian life left the city, and it became fantastically expensive. And our, you know, we were getting ready to renew our lease, which we were paying $1,400 a month rent, and they wanted $14,000 for the next lease. And that's when I left, and with my heart broken, really, but I knew I had to go somewhere. You know, I had to go on the next trip. And in my life journey, I just knew that this was the time to make a move. I just felt compelled to do that. So I came back here to New York, to the East Coast, and I became manager of the Boys Choir of Harlem and started to work for jazz at Lincoln Center, became a programming director, worked with Wynton Marsalis. And to make a long story short, I developed a tremendous affection for the East Coast also, and living on this side of the pond. But also, it just immersed me, and I, you know, produced a lot of records, like over 800 albums during that time, and just stayed busy all the time doing various things for our music. And so I was named an NEA Jazz Master in 2018, about three years ago. And just for my lifetime of work in for and with this music. And at the awards dinner, I was recognized with Diane Reeves and Pat Metheny and Joanne Burkeen. And we were all at this awards dinner, and I met the chef, who's Robert Wiedemeyer, who's the owner of Marcel's restaurant in D.C. And he and I became friends, and our wives became fast friends, and we started visiting each other in Washington and New York. And one day he said, you know, we should open up a jazz restaurant. It'll be the best food, because he's a Michelin-starred chef, and it'll be the best music in the world, because you're the best. And we started looking around D.C., but there wasn't anything large enough or with good parking. And then he remembered he owned a place here called the Muscle Bar and Grill, which is down here in Harbor East. But it had been closed for a year. It had been closed for a good year. And so he said, maybe you can look. Well, let's look at that. Let's take a look at that, Todd. Maybe they haven't had a jazz club there, I think, in a long time, and maybe it would be a good idea for the community and to resurrect this restaurant. So we came and looked at it. We decided we have to, you know, knock some things down and rearrange some things, and we opened up Keystone Corner Baltimore on International Jazz Day in 2019. And that wasn't the easiest process either. I mean, there hadn't been a jazz club here in over 30 years, and it takes a while to get something like that going, but we worked real, real hard. And just about January and February of 2020, then we did the best we ever did. We had the two best months we ever had, January and February. We had a sold-out show with Roy Ayers coming up March 20th. We were sold out with Lisa Fisher, and we were really excited where we were going, and all of a sudden, boom, a little thing called COVID happened. And so we're back, you know, starting all over again. So it's been a rough year, but one that's been worth the effort, and the feeling of people coming back and reemerging, and their expressions of happiness at recycling their, you know. This music is all about shared cycles of creativity, because the energy comes from another source, and it comes through the musician, and then it goes out to you in the audience, and then you recycle it to us and to the performers and to the presenters, and then the musicians, you know, cycle it back to the audience. And that's what my whole life has been dedicated to. This music, very early on when I had Keystone Corner San Francisco, I was a 25-year-old club owner that didn't know, you know, my left foot from my right foot as far as owning a business. The one thing that got me through was the love of this music, and that's what's continued. We have a saying at Keystone Corner, take care of the music and the music will take care of you, and that's really has proved to be the, you know, subplot of my life, and I continue to believe that that is the most important thing. And I'm really proud to be here in Baltimore, because I've lived in San Francisco. I was there for 18 years. I was about 36 years in New York. But this feels like my home forever. And I feel very wonderful here. And it's good to have the people of Baltimore are what make it as wonderful a place. It's a city, like my friend Billy Murphy says, it's a needy city with a lot of challenges, but it's a great place in terms of the people here and the community here. And I'm proud to be here and sharing these cycles of creativity with all of you. So thank you very much.